Be a part of the Brokers Are Better movement by joining our Facebook group exclusively for the Independent Mortgage Broker channel. It's a place dedicated for AIM members and mortgage professionals to share best practices, network, and help our community grow their companies in a positive way. Head over to facebook.com/groups/brokersarebetter to join. Hey, welcome to Broker to Broker. This podcast is all about real talk from one broker to another. Each week, we'll be talking with an AIM member about their journey into the broker channel, their challenges, and unique insights. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All right, welcome to Broker, sponsored by AIM, Association of Independent Mortgage Experts. I am your host, JP Hussey of the Hussey Team Mortgage Advisors. And today I got my buddy Matt Grella, Nexa Mortgage.
How you doing?
Good. Co-owner, co-founder, right?
Co-founder, yeah.
And what I noticed, Matt with one T.
It is. Yeah.
I mean, there's another big time dude with one T.
There is.
Ishbia, right?
Yeah, there is, man.
UWM.
You know, I'm 2 years older, so I had it first, you know.
You had oh really?
Yeah. By 2 years.
All right.
Yeah,
my mom talking some to give smack me, you to
know,
Matt.
Hey, Matt. Well, plus, you know, I'm a Michigan guy. That's my team. He's a state guy. So we every time I go out there, I'm always giving him crap.
All right. So hold on. We were talking before this. So next, well, and you guys are in Arizona.
We're in Arizona, yeah.
You're from New York. You heard the kind of the East Coast accent, right? You're a Michigan fan.
I am
so
a huge
Michigan
fan.
So what's the deal with this?
You know, growing up on Long Island, you don't have too many college teams.
That's a good point.
You know, so my friends were either Notre Dame or, you know, Ohio State, you know, whatever, and Penn State fans. So I had to pick something different, right? So I'm 5 years old watching TV. Every Saturday morning, the games are coming on, and it's always, when you're in New York, like, you know, Michigan was prime time.
Yeah,
so you're always seeing these winged helmets coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, I sitting out there, I go, you know, M for Michigan, M for Matt. I'm 5 years old, didn't know. Saw the colors, saw the helmets. I was like, you know what? That's my team. And from that point on, it was it.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to my buddy Josh Gribben, one of my best friends. He's from PA, but Michigan fan.
Hey,
so
shout out. There you go.
Well, actually,
go
blue. He was born out there. Yeah, the big house, right?
Yeah, the big house.
I was out there a couple years ago.
We
it's
go
pretty
out.
Cool.
I take my son there. The last 2 years, we've gone out for homecoming.
Yeah,
it's been great.
Nice. Yeah. All right, well, I want to get to know you a bit more.
Okay.
We're going to get into the mortgage stuff, all the boring stuff, right?
It is boring.
No, but it is, but, you know, we're trying to make this fun, that's how it should be. We'll get into that. But I want to know your background. We know you're from New York, right? When did you move to Arizona? And then how, you know, tell me a little bit about your family. You said you have two kids.
I do.
And then I want to know how you got in the industry.
So, you know, we'll go back, right? So 2001, it was shortly after 9/11, I'd moved out to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had previously retired there, like the year before. I was still kind of finding my way. I was about 19, 20 years old. So I decided to make the leap. When they first went out to retire, I went out with them. And I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated it, man. There's this, you know, it's brown. It's hot.
People are different coming from
New
York.
People are different. There's no culture. Really. Like, you know, it was just, it was hard.
All right.
So I lasted about 6 months, packed up all my stuff in my car, and I drove back to New York. And I'm like, that's it. I'm living on my own, right? That's it. I'm going to do this. I was working about 4 or 5 jobs, just hustling every day, just making ends meet. And then, you know, better heads prevailed. I still had some people that I knew in Arizona, and they were actually buying houses. And I'm like, you're 21 years old, 22, you're buying a house? Like, how do you do that?
And this is what, 2003-ish?
No, this is still 2001.
2001,
right?
Yeah.
So cool. I'm like, how is that even possible? So I started realizing, you know, living in New York, working 4 jobs, trying to make ends meet,
it wasn't
going to get where I wanted to be. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to give Arizona a second try. So I go back out to Arizona. In fact, it happened right after 9/11. I went out in October, went back out.
Mm-hmm.
And been out there ever since. And, you know, always been a hustler, always been a guy who works hard. You know, my upbringing was pretty standard. You know, my father passed away when I was young. You know, I was 10 years old. He had passed away from cancer. So that was a little tough, right?
Yeah,
but,
no doubt.
You know, you learn things, right? You learn, you know, how to work hard. You learn that you're not going to get handed things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just start putting that forward every day. And
And maybe we're a bit biased, but we're the East Coast hard worker, man. Worker, we're just the best people in the world. I mean,
hey, I agree. Yeah. No, so
all right, so you're back in Arizona.
Back in Arizona. All
right, and this is in the 2001, 2002-ish,
2001,
right?
2001, 2002, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so you went back. You, some of your friends out there were buying houses.
They were buying houses, man. I couldn't believe it.
So then what sparked your interest? Is that when you kind of got into the mortgage game?
This is pretty...
I want to hear it all, man. I love this.
You want to hear this whole thing?
Okay. Yeah.
I was actually working for Blockbuster Video. Nice. Remember that place? Yeah, you could go into a store and you could pick a movie off the shelf.
Yeah.
So I was a manager and working there for, I think about 6 years I'd been working for him. And started seeing the writing on the wall, you know. And so it was a top producer, top performer with them and all that stuff. Been in a bunch of events.
6 years at Blockbuster Video?
Yeah.
That's hardcore.
So it was pretty good. But I got to the point where I started seeing some of the writing on the wall. So I jumped out. And this was about 2006 I finally got out of it. And it was right before they crashed, because they crashed in like 07 or whatever.
Wow, it's been that long?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Okay.
And I got a job. I was working at University of Phoenix, you know, doing online enrollment. I was an enrollment counselor. Then I became an enrollment manager, led a team. And just at phone sales. I was always a sales guy, right? I could always talk. I was always a salesperson. So for me, it was just natural, and it was awesome. You know, it was over the phone, so it wasn't like in person, right?
Right.
So it was pretty cool. And taught me a lot about multitasking because I was constantly on the phone while, you know, pulling stuff up on the screen to go over stuff with the students and all that stuff. So I learned a lot there, learned a lot about the corporate culture and all that stuff. And, you know, I was a manager for about nine and a half years, and I was starting to get a little tired. Well, I was more than a little tired. It got to the point where it really wasn't much of a challenge. And I had decided, you know what, it's I felt like my professional career wasn't going anywhere. So I felt like I had to do something. So I decided to take a leap of faith. And out of nowhere, we had bought a house previously in like 2008.
Uh-huh.
And we bought another one in 2010. And I started thinking to myself, you know what, I could do this mortgage thing. Like this does not seem hard. It's numbers. Mm-hmm. I love numbers. It's talking to people. It's selling. I was like, this is what I like to do. I like putting people in the best position possible, right? So I decided to take a leap of faith.
Was there like a specific person that kind of got you in, or you reached out?
You know, not even. I did this blind.
This is cool.
This is
totally blind.
I'm jumping, right? I burnt the boats, you know, and I'm in, right?
So, okay.
I go, I get my license and all that stuff, and now I'm sitting here going, all right, what do you do next, right?
You didn't even have a company.
Didn't
you
have
anything. You just got licensed.
Didn't have anything. Just got
licensed. This is 2010-ish?
This is a little bit later. So this is 2000. I've only been doing this for 4 years.
We're
talking 2015. Oh, cool. All right,
sweet. Okay.
So I get the license, and I'm talking to some people. They're like, hey, man, you're going to want to go work for one of the big retail places because they're going to provide you leads. And I knew I was a phone guy, so I knew I needed leads. But I'm like, all right, let me just think about that first. So start looking into it, and I see this ad that comes across on LinkedIn, right, a recruiting ad. And it was like, you know, provided leads, high splits, this, that, and the other. And the girl who actually posted it was somebody who I knew from University of Phoenix. She was an academic counselor. I was an enrollment manager. So I was like, hey, all right, let me try it out.
Yeah.
So I interview and Mike Cordes.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, my business partner now.
Yep.
He was the branch manager, and he ran a lead team, and he wanted, was looking for some more LOs. So, you know, we sat with him. When I first met him, I'm like, this guy's a jerk. he's an asshole. He's a cocky one, right?
So
I'm like, I don't know if I like this
stereotypical
guy.
Mortgage guy.
Right, yeah, exactly. Right? You know, he's just all, you know, I was top producer and, you know, and I'm like, whatever. he's going to hear that. So.
That's fine.
So we go through that, you know, go through that interview, and he's like, so what do you, you know, he wanted me to like commit right then and there. I'm like, no, I'm like, you know what? I have another interview lined up with another.
And what company was this?
This was Security National Mortgage.
Security National. Yeah, were they, like a correspondent type?
No, they were a retail banker.
The retail banker.
Yeah, they're retail, right?
Okay.
So, I wound up, you know, I said, you know what? I have another interview lined up. One of my friends who had left University of Phoenix, he had a friend who was really high up at Academy Mortgage.
Uh-huh.
He's like, hey, you know what? I can set you up with an interview if that's what you want to do. And I'm like, sure, I'll give it a shot. So I told Mike, I said, you know what? Out of respect, I want to hear this guy out.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I leave, go to the interview. I'm sitting down with Ryan Nelson, who was at Academy Mortgage at the time. And he's just talking to me. And he's like, yeah, you know what? We'll bring you on as an LOA. You can be an assistant. We'll assign you to like one of our top performing LOs. And I go, oh, you know what, dude? I didn't leave to do this to be an assistant.
Right.
So I can't do that. So I politely declined, called Mike up. I said, dude, I'm in. And that was it, dude. That started it off.
Nice.
And it was just hitting the phones every day. I mean, I was grinding it out.
Yeah, and that's not for – I mean, you had the experience already, like you said, in sales.
Yeah.
But like you know, that's not – like a lot of people have to start as an LOA or processing just to figure it out.
Yeah.
But you're like, nah, screw it all. Right. That was me. I mean, 2011, right before we were having – like I was saying, I'm a lunatic with three kids. Our first kid was being born. I'm like – I was working at like a credit repair company. I had whatever, but I'm like, I got to make money now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I went full in, you know, just tried to figure it out. 2011, you
know? That's crazy.
It was the same type of thing. Now, not everyone's cut out for that.
Right.
I had some sales experience, but so you went full boat.
I went full.
Started providing leads. You were just banging the phones.
Dude, I knew that, you know, I knew I had always been pretty successful, whatever I did, because I knew that I was a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, you know, was I going to make millions? I didn't know. Was I going to make 150 grand? I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I knew I'd be able to make ends meet, and I knew I'd be able to work hard.
Yeah, you seem like, and tell me if I'm wrong, a type of dude where it doesn't matter what you're selling, you're gonna figure it out. You're going to figure out the system.
Yeah.
I mean, we keep hearing, and even Anthony's talking about, like, mortgages, it's a commodity.
It is.
It is, it right? Is. So it's kind of like anything else. So that's kind of how you saw it, right?
Yeah, it's exactly how I saw it. So my thought process is, it doesn't matter what I sell, as long as I learn the product,
mm-hmm.
and I learn, as long as there's a benefit to the client, right? So I started off, like, with you know, University of Phoenix, I'm selling education.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want to get an education?
Yeah, yeah.
Who doesn't want opportunity,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Who doesn't want to graduate and have an opportunity to make more money,
mm-hmm.
right? Provide for your family, mm-hmm. and just a living that you've dreamed of, right? The American dream. And then I started taking that into mortgages. And now mm-hmm. I'm selling the idea of owning that house, mm-hmm. right? Like the next step in your life.
And that's important, like you said, owning a house, not selling mortgages.
Selling mortgages.
Nobody wants a mortgage.
No, it's owning a home. So my approach was really easy. It was to understand the buyer, right? We didn't talk about mortgages when I first got on the phone with you. We'd talk mm-hmm. about, hey, where are you looking to be? Where mm-hmm. do you want to be? Mm-hmm. Where are you looking to move? When are you planning on moving? All that stuff, right? The who, what, when, why's, and how.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'd go through that whole process, and then we would just work naturally into the conversation.
Yep.
And, you know, I was, you know, closing. At one point, I was the branch's production. Like, I was doing all the production, right? So so we're doing that at Security National Mortgage. Mike has a quick exit. Prior to, he was like, hey, dude, I'm going to be leaving, but we want you to come with us. Like, we can't do this without you, so you got to come with us. I'm like, all right, cool. So I switched. So here it is. Like, I had, you know, University of Phoenix for 10 years. Prior to that, Blockbuster for 6. Here I am 6 months into being a loan officer, starting a new job. Starting a new employer. And So I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I don't know. But, you know, Mike and I, we had a really, really good relationship. So I trusted him a lot. He trusted me. So it was natural, right?
Uh-huh.
So we moved over to Equity Prime Mortgage.
Okay, yep, Equity Prime.
We started the first branch in Arizona.
So like 2016-ish to get a timeline?
16, yeah.
16?
Yeah, 2016, exactly. Because 17 we opened up Nexa Mortgage.
Okay.
You know? So we're there, and man, we're doing it. And we're doing really well as a branch. And, you know, for whatever happened, management disagreements, upper
yeah,
management
whatever
disagreements,
it is. It's
whatever
always
it was,
something.
It was, you know, retail branches. I got to the point where we had hired a guy who was a broker, and really cool guy, Mike Bennett, you know, awesome guy. And I give him a lot of credit, because if it wasn't for this guy, I probably wouldn't have thought about becoming a broker, right?
Cool.
And he comes up and he's like, you know what, Matt, you're really smart. He's like, you know all the guidelines. You know, you can structure a loan better than anybody I've seen in the business in 25 years, and you can sell. He's like, you're like, you know, you're doing an awesome job. You should really think about becoming a broker and doing this on your own. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that. Like, I'm going to take the next step. Like, this sounds awesome, right? So I start looking into it, and I find out, you know what? You need to be licensed in Arizona for 3 years. Well, I wasn't licensed.
Is that the rule?
3 years, yeah.
Okay.
I only had two. So I was short of the licensing requirement just to be my own broker. So I'm like, well, can't really do that yet. So I started thinking, well, the next best thing, I'm like, you know, Mike took me under his wing. Maybe I can convince him to come over. So I start talking to Mike. We start working on this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, broker, you can't do it. You know, the margin's too small. Yeah. You know, all the stuff that you hear.
That you hear, right.
And, you know, I kept working on it every day, right? I mean, it was like Novocaine. Just keep working slowly. And we finally got to an agreement. He's like, you know what, dude, I think you might be onto something. Because I told him, I said, look, I'm leaving. And I'm either going to go hang my license under another broker.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't do it myself.
Right. Like, I'm doing it anyway.
Whatever. Right. So... so I said, hey, this is my plan. This is what I'm doing, and I'm leaving. So I left, and like within a week of me leaving, Equity Prime shut it off. They'd shut the branch. They were like, hey, your production's gone.
I guess that makes sense because you were gone. Yeah. Right?
So that started. What are we gonna do now? And we had already done some stuff in the background.
Yeah. How
company going?
How quick did that take to start up Nexa from that situation?
I could get in trouble for saying
that. All right, well, you know, I mean, don't get yourself in trouble.
No, I had an exit strategy.
Sure.
Where I had somebody who had already started she owned a brokerage. We hired an RI. So in Arizona, you can rent an RI, you can hire an RI.
Okay.
Who's got a broker's license, the user license.
Well, what's an RI?
To get a responsible individual.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Yep.
So we had somebody else that I started the company, we started doing that, and I used his license, but the company wasn't producing loans, it was just sitting there.
But that's legit. It's all legit.
It was nothing bad.
No.
So we started to, you go through the process, you know, you gotta get the credit, you know, you gotta approve the pull credit.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, set up lenders, right?
Yeah, I just did it this year, man.
Yeah, there you go, man. Yeah. So I remember going to, you know, the trade shows and all that stuff. And I didn't have business cards. I'm writing my name on like cocktail napkins.
Hey, you know, some people like that though, man, you know, it's just a different way of doing it.
It was cool. So that was like the ground up. And, you know, so we're going to all these different lenders and I'm trying to pitch them on my vision, right? My vision's I want to be the largest broker in the country. And they're laughing at me. And I'm like, no, seriously, like this is how I'm going to do it. Right. And they're like, no, you can't do it. Right. And you know, so Mike and I are, you know, we're going out, we're talking about this stuff, and we're going to be the largest. And we don't care what it takes, we're going to do it. So we're writing our name on these cocktail napkins, and people are just laughing at us. And then I remember going to renew my license. I had to do the classes. You know, we just went through it, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting in this class, and I actually did it in person because I wanted to, I don't know why, I just wanted to do it in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting in the class. We're going around the room. Everybody's introducing themselves, and they're all brokers.
Mm.
And I'm sitting there going, wow, this is a good opportunity for me to start picking people's brains.
Yeah.
So I'm going through the room, and I start talking to a couple of these guys, and everybody's telling me, like, I'm telling my goal or my vision. And they're all like, okay, Johnny, good job. Yeah, you know, move over. And I'm like, no, I want to be the largest broker. Why don't you think it'll work? Brokers can, you know, the biggest you can grow is maybe 5 or 6.
Tough to scale, blah, blah, blah.
You know.
Margins, this, that.
Everything, right? You're hearing the whole thing. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, I'm not going to get discouraged. Like, you know, I got a goal. We have a goal. We know what we're doing. So we leave. We start Nexa Mortgage.
When was that?
It was October 2017.
All right, 2017. Yeah. So you guys... Yeah, there was brokers around.
There were.
But like we know, this thing just popped off in the past year.
Yes.
So you guys were kind of at the beginning of the movement, right?
Yeah. So I remember going
the
to...
New movement?
The new movement.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
The second coming of brokers.
Yeah, right?
So, you know, I remember... So we start and we have... it's myself, Mike. We had another partner at the time. He's not with us anymore. We cut that tie. And we had, I think... 4 other loan officers, and that was it.
What about processors? Anything in the mix there? Or you guys were just running hard?
We were running hard. Uh-huh. We made people into processors that probably had never done it before in their life, and we didn't know what the hell we were doing.
Yeah, sure.
So we're stepping in every landmine you can find. We're stepping on them, right? Every trap, everything, every hurdle we're hitting. I mean, it was ugly, right?
Yeah.
So
well, you didn't have this community like we do now.
No,
like,
not at all. This is amazing.
Like. Brokers have a really good opportunity right now to start something up or flip because there's so many, like yourself, you were one of the OGs of the second coming.
Right.
You stepped in everything.
You name it.
So you know. It's still tough. I mean, no matter with this community, crazy.
Yeah.
But
our first lender through the door was Carrington.
Okay.
It was the first lender that we set up with.
Uh-huh.
And came to find out that we weren't fully set up. Like, our AE was just trying to get loans over, and we weren't fully set up.
Man.
So then the lender that came to our rescue was Caliber.
Mm-hmm.
So Chrissy Steele, fabulous account exec, came to our rescue. And I remember, I had gone from being the originator, like just going out and originating loans, and we had some processors before that were good. To all of a sudden, like, now we don't have any processors. So I'm trying to figure out how to process. I'm
everything.
Trying to do a whole thing. I got 12 loans I'm trying to close. You know, I'm like, I'm going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one of those things, man. It was every day you didn't know. Every day was like, go, go, go. It was something new. It was a surprise. And I thrive in that environment.
Yeah. You know? It's chaos.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
So if it's not chaotic, it's too slow, man. It's too boring.
I think a lot of people, whether you're in retail, broker, everyone's chasing this perfect system. It's not. Once you can kind of fall and bow down to that it's going to be chaos and constantly work on organizing the chaos.
Yep.
Then that's how you have to look at it. There's no shiny object. There's nothing out there that's going to make it perfect.
No, there's no magic wand.
No.
You know, I mean, embrace the chaos.
Yes, right? That's what I'm saying. Bow down, embrace it.
Yeah, deal with the ambiguity of the situation and go forward. And I'll tell you, it makes you feel alive to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're next to mortgage now, and we were starting to, you know, we had this goal of being the largest broker, and you know, a few months into it, we're sitting there going, we don't have that many LOs. So we had to switch something.
And you're selling still at this point.
I'm still selling.
Are you selling right now?
I am not.
You're not.
No.
Okay.
No.
So 2017, you got in. You've only been doing it for a year.
Yeah.
Really? Right.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Selling.
Time, yeah.
You're selling, obviously, to start the company off.
We got to get. Yeah. You got to get some money in there.
Okay. So you had the LOs. Stuff. Yeah. You have to, right?
Yeah.
So then when did you switch? Like, what are you and Mike's roles right now? Let's start there.
Okay, yeah,
so you're
question.
Both the owners, the
We're
co-founders.
Both co-founders, yeah.
Okay, so what are your roles right now?
So Mike handles a lot. He does all the marketing.
Okay.
He does a lot of the recruiting and all that stuff. I do all the operations.
Okay.
So, you know, handling the third-party relationships with the other investors and the lenders that are out there.
Okay.
You know, finding true partners. Lenders that are true partners of the broker.
And we're going to get into that at some point.
Yeah,
yep.
Definitely. Okay. You know, maintaining that. Maintaining third-party relationships with third-party processing companies and all, because we solely use third-party processing companies.
Okay.
So we do that too.
Interesting. Okay.
And then training and onboarding LOs. You know, so, you know, it's really kind of teaching them what we went through.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been able to catalog everything that we went through from day one. And it's in our systems that we, you know, when you come on board and you're with Nexa Mortgage, you have access to all of the training material that we've put together from day one, from the ground up. And you get all that. All of our marketing strategies that we used, we've cataloged all of that stuff. So I got to kind of, you know, point in the right direction because, you know, with 60-plus lenders set up, you know, you come here to Nexa Mortgage and you're sitting there going, well, you're like a kid in a candy store. You don't know what to grab
first. It's overwhelming.
Yeah. So my goal was to kind of streamline it for them. So that they can hit the ground running faster, right?
Got it.
And I streamline it with just, you know, our handful of true partner lenders and have them start learning them first.
Yeah, so when did you guys really pop off? Where, like, you have this goal of being the biggest in the country.
Yeah.
You started small. You still have this goal. It hasn't been that long. And you guys are one of the top right now.
We're second largest.
You're second, right?
Yeah.
So that's not a long, that's not a long time.
No.
Like, when did it just kind of pop?
It popped.
Like, is there a specific moment?
Yeah. So I would have to say it was AimFuse last year.
AimFuse last year.
2018.
Okay. It's only been a year.
It's only been a year.
Yeah, that's October. Yeah, so it's been a year.
Yeah.
You guys were grinding. Okay. You had this goal. Go ahead.
We're sitting there. We got 30 loan officers total. And we start thinking about ways to grow. Right. And at the time I was still doing the production. So Mike and I sat down and we said, look, in order for this to happen, we've got to become support guys. We've got to teach. We've got to constantly help people, help loan officers that come on board.
Yeah.
Show them and teach them how to do this. Teach them how to fish. So in order to do that, it was a leap of faith. I had to stop producing.
Yeah. How hard was that to kind of stop producing?
You know what? For me, for a guy,
that's very tough.
Oh man, I can tell you, Mike and I had a lot of conversations that weren't very nice conversations. Where I'm like, dude, we can't do this. Like, we're gonna be done.
Yeah, right.
Like, doors are gonna close pretty soon here. I remember last Christmas having a conversation with him. Like, it was. I was like, dude, this is gonna be tough to buy gifts for the kids. You know?
Yeah.
Like, we got to really get this thing honed in and figure this thing out.
Uh-huh.
And then, he's like, not. He's like, just stay with it. We're gonna do
it. Trust the process.
So what we could do is we created a model where we basically the loan officer gets the full comp, mm-hmm. right? So they get the lion's share. We basically as a company operate off of 25 basis points per loan.
Wow,
which is tough, right? You're a business owner, so you know what that means, right? So it becomes a volume game. So it's just, you know, Mike hit the recruiting trail really hard. And by doing that, there were times where he was bringing in so many loan officers. We didn't have a lot of the infrastructure. So it was, and I, you know, and we're going crazy, right? So he's bringing these guys on. I'm trying to find ways to train them, onboard them.
It's very tough, quality versus quantity, right? You want both. That's the real goal.
Ideal is quantity and quality, both at the same time. Yeah. But you know.
That's tough,
it's
man.
It's tough to do. So we had to focus on, and in the beginning it was all quantity.
Uh-huh.
But we were able to hit some great, you know, heavy hitters off the bat that we brought on that were just amazing guys. They're still with us today.
You need good, true lending partners to be able to do what you're doing.
Yes, because,
like,
100%.
They have to have good back ends, man, because you're using them to grow the quantity. Like,
and that's the thing. So, like, you guys had Brett Weiss out here.
Yeah, Brett's my man.
Months ago. Great guy, man. Great guy.
Got big biceps.
He does, Brett. Man. Jeez, that guy just you know, pumps iron all day long.
I love that dude.
Man, I'm like, how many loans? Forget loans, I'm pumping iron.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Great guy.
We could rip him all day.
Oh, we could.
Yeah,
we could,
that's all good. Yeah.
Did he have the leather jacket?
I think he did. Yeah. Assless chaps, maybe, too.
Maybe, too. Yeah. No, Brett, if you're out there, great guy. Well, you know, Brett Weiss, he's instrumental in our growth.
Okay.
Yeah. So he came on, and he wanted to build a branch. We knew him from the retail days when he worked with us at Equity Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we had the right model for him there. In fact, I know we didn't have the right model for him. It was just, you know, we were hampered by retail. So he came back around, and it was, now we're a broker. And he was instrumental. I remember the first day sitting down with him, he's sitting in my office, and he breaks out this briefcase. And he's like, hey, dude, look, these are all turn downs that I can't do it. I couldn't do anything with my previous lender. I'm like, really?
Well, let's look at these.
Let's go through them.
Yeah.
I think he walked out of there with like 20 loans, like just from the lenders that we had
just
set
to
up
have set do. Up that he could do
just by the by having the choices.
So all right, so right now, you have what, you're signed up with like 60 lenders?
Yeah, about 60.
Honestly, though, how many are you using? Do you think? Throughout the company, do you have those metrics?
Yeah,
everyone's different.
I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of just crazy non-QM guys that we've got out there.
Oh, so you set that up?
So,
okay.
Yeah, so we've set up. I mean, we can do anything from, you know, hard money bridge,
everything.
Fix and flips. I mean, it's all out there, right?
Okay.
We got a lender set up for every one of those commercial, all that.
Uh huh.
But if you looked at how many we're actually getting the loans, I would say out of the
Typical residential, whatever.
Yeah,
conventional
big,
FHA.
UWM is our big one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we closed 340 loans with them last month.
Nice.
Wow. You know, so that was December. You know, so they're our big one. Home Point,
Caliber, great. Yeah,
Cardinal. So I would say really probably about a solid 36 lenders we close on a consistent basis with at
least
double digits with them. You know?
Okay.
So yeah, it's pretty good.
Nice. All right. Well, then let me take a step back, because after speaking with Brett and getting and looking, you guys, I want to. You have a different model, right?
We do.
So you spent a lot of time setting up the training, right? All right, so Mike's more recruiting people in.
Yeah.
You're in charge of more of the training and onboarding for the
most.
I know a lot more,
yeah.
But that's kind of your spot, right? So you have this whole library, like you said, right?
Because
your guys' goal is to grow even more with loan officers.
Yes.
And you do contract processing or third party for the
it's
most
all
part?
Third party, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the model. So, and you also have a model with bringing LOs in. Do you want to talk about that? Brett touched on it a bit.
What we do is we've empowered our loan officers. I can't go into all the details.
No, it's fine.
But
right.
We basically created a system where we empower our loan officers through word of mouth and referrals, right, and professional referrals. they grow. They're able to earn. Basically, what we've done is we've taken a part of what we would have earned as a commission, and we give it back to the loan officers so they can grow.
Okay.
So there's a percentage that they can, if they bring on a loan officer and they're closing loans, and they can earn, you know, bips off of what they've closed and
okay.
stuff like that.
So, okay.
That's helped us grow tremendously. You know, it's okay. helped us grow a lot. But when you look at the actual overall, I think it has to do with our culture. So we don't lose loan officers. You know, okay. we really don't. So
yeah, let's talk about that. Like, how's that set up? Because you're in a bunch yeah. of different states too, right?
19 right now.
So you're talking yeah. about, all right, this is different. There's a lot of different models. Like yeah. my model, it's me and my brother right now. We're right. looking to hire, but we're just going mean and lean, yeah, right? I'm still awesome. Producing. Yeah. It's different model.
Oh, yeah.
But we're talking, and that's one type of culture.
Yeah.
Right? Now you're talking about culture. You're not losing LOs, and you're over 19 states.
Yeah.
Like, how do you deal with culture when people are spread out?
Right. Great question. So we've implemented technology at a high level. So okay. we do a lot of virtual sessions.
Okay.
Like, so you can go to our website right now, nexamortgage.com. And in the upper right-hand corner of the screen, you can click on live video support.
Mm.
You can click on that right now, and you can get our receptionist who'll come up. And she will and take you wherever you need to go. If you're a loan officer out there and you're trying to run DU and you got an error code that keeps coming up, you can talk to one of our loan officers and loan officer support. And they can walk you through how to fix it, you know, sharing the screens and all that okay. stuff, all virtually.
Wow. So, okay. So it's really support. It's like
support,
crazy.
Support like crazy. And we had to create this. We knew that in order to grow, it wasn't about us. You know, we weren't going to be able to do, you know, like some models, guys will do like, you know, a 275 broker comp plan. They're giving yep. the LO like 125 mm-hmm. or 130, whatever it is. And then they're getting the lion's share too. We knew that's limited growth. It wasn't going to, you're not going to become large doing
Well, when your goal is to be the biggest broker and you have to that.
Box, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think because this is a different model
it
from
is.
What I've seen.
It is.
You know? So if we go over how it's set up now. Yeah. You guys are obviously still in growth mode. You probably have a billion more ideas. But now, like you said, you guys, we know what you and Mike do
yeah.
for the most part, right? Yeah. Then how was it branched down from there? You have branches, right?
Yeah, around right. Each? Well, we do. We don't have, you got to understand, so the whole branching model, there's maybe a few out there that are really branches.
Like okay.
Brent Weiss has a branch.
Yeah, he's got his branch.
You know, Tony Atkins out in California, he's got a branch. You know, Steve mm-hmm. Alonzo in Chandler, Arizona, he's got a branch.
Okay.
You know, guys like that. Those guys are true branch models where they have employees underneath them
yeah, yeah.
and stuff like that. For the most part, they're all individual producing LOs.
That's what I got from, like, everyone yeah. is their own, even though they're part of a branch, their own little business. That's what yeah. That's the goal.
That's the
here.
Mentality of it is it, you're still an entrepreneur. We've created a model where you don't have to take on all the hard work of starting up the business, getting the licenses
yep.
and all that stuff. We've done that. So we give the majority of the commission to the loan officer. It takes such a small piece. But in doing that, we hope that you're going to recruit other people with you and have more people come in. And as they start to grow, that's where we get our volume to finally, you know, afford Christmas toys.
Yeah, yeah. Christmas going presents, back
right?
to that, right?
Right.
So does each LO kind of have their own little P&L?
They do.
That's you know, that's what I remember yeah. Brett was talking yeah. about, which is really cool.
They do.
So they have their own.
They have to maintain their own costs and expenses.
Got it. Yeah, yeah because, I mean, you're only taking a little off the top to yeah. pay for other certain things.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, so you have you guys up top. You got, you know, branches or individual, mm-hmm. like we talked yeah. about. I'm really curious about, like you just said, this LO help desk yeah. type situation. Yeah. So what other support staff, because you do third-party yeah. processing.
We do.
Can we talk about the support staff that really helps your company
yeah,
go
yeah.
to help out other people?
So our support guys, so from 6 a.m. Arizona time till 5 p.m. Arizona time, we've got, you know, people in HR. We've got people in payroll. We have, you know, you name it, accounting. You know, you have a question about, you know, one of the expenses that came out on your expense report or something like that might have been wrong. All right, you got somebody you can log in, talk to, and get
okay.
it fixed, right?
Okay.
And then our support guys, we have four guys that are our main loan officer support. They're helping LOs with the LOSs. They're helping them with, you know, Arrive. They're helping them with Blink.
Are you guys on Arrive for the most part? Are you letting each LO figure out?
They get to figure it out.
They can have their own if they wanted
to? We set them all up with Point to begin with because
okay.
right now, we have so many files in point that it'd be hard to kind of transition that whole
right
thing
now.
Over. So
not to jump off topic, but I'm just curious about where you guys are.
If we were a brand new broker starting off right now, we would be more aligned. We would be full in with Arrive.
Okay.
And
just
their platform.
Right now,
it's just right now we got the transition.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of tough. So we do have some guys that use Arrive.
Okay. So you have your support staff.
We do.
About four or five
support
people.
Support staff, yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
and they can just call in about really anything. For the most part, structuring a deal, like how's
anything,
okay.
anything that goes on. So our goal is that as a loan officer, we understand that, you know, you're only as credible as the answers that you can provide and how quickly you can provide them to a client.
Got to be quick and efficient nowadays, man.
You have to be. Right?
Have to.
So all of our stuff it's all mobile, right? So whether you're on your phone, if you're got your laptop fired up or whatever it is, your tablet, you can pull up all this information, get answers to your questions right away. You can pull up your phone and go into our live support, and you can get one of our loan officers and LO support on the phone right now.
Okay.
So, to me, I remember I remember when we became brokers, and I was going out making the realtor relationships too and all stuff and trying to maintain them. And I remember sitting at open houses and engaging, you know, potential buyers that would walk through the house and all that stuff. And I remember being asked a couple of questions, and I had to go, you know what, I have to check on that. They're out of the office. Let me get back to you on Monday. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Dude, you lose the deal.
Your
deal's
done.
That's walking, right?
Right.
So we try to make it as real time, as quick as possible, so that you don't have to tell that client on a Saturday, hey, let me get back to you when they're in the office on Monday.
On Monday.
No. Like, you can go in there, you can log into our Nexa University that we call it.
Is that what
it's
called? Yep. Nexa University?
Nexa University. Go through all the information. You can get your answers.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a different type model, no doubt. They're giving the support. And like you said, that's the culture, to get back to the culture.
That is the culture. Yeah.
That's it.
Well,
all right, so I see it. Like, there's a lot of, and this is not bad, but
no.
Different companies, they hear culture like, we're going to have a holiday party.
Right.
We're going to do this, right? That's all well and good.
It is.
But it sounds like your model is, listen, let's get shit done.
Yeah.
Then you can go to your family and be your own. This is what you want to do.
Yeah.
So you have LOs that just can be self-sufficient. You don't have to do big holiday parties. Maybe you do something. I don't know. But
no. Yeah,
but this
is
like you're letting each person run their own thing and do what they want with their lives. And we're not throwing in all the mumbo jumbo.
No.
Does that make sense?
That's
is that kind of what you're trying to do?
Yeah, that's
do?
About it.
I think that's what people want.
You know, we use a common sense approach to everything that we do. So when I'm doing an onboarding class, I talk about our core values, right? And I mean, they're common sense. You know, number one is the golden rule. Treat others as you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be an asshole.
Yeah, literally.
Just don't
be a dick.
And that goes to everybody. So that goes from, you know, somebody who's in support. That goes to a receptionist. That goes to our third-party partners that are out there, our AEs. Don't be an asshole, right? Don't treat them like shit.
No.
And that's something that we pride ourselves in, right? That's one of our big ones. And then, you know, a couple things that we align with UWM is be a thumb pointer, not a finger pointer.
Yep.
You know, like in every situation, you got to ask yourself, what could I have done differently?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't mean you're wrong. Doesn't mean you're right.
Mm-hmm.
What could I have done differently? And if you're always seeking to improve, you're going to have a culture of people who are just hitting that next level, right? And wanting to strive for that next level. So we pride ourselves in that.
Yeah. And that goes back to, I don't want to dive into this, like we said, true partners.
Yes.
Right?
100%.
So you guys did something a few months ago you totally cut off Quicken.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys had Quicken.
We did.
Right?
Yeah.
What made you guys really say, listen, we're totally fully just cutting them off? You have 60 lenders in your repertoire.
Yeah.
Done.
Right.
Like, what was the thought process behind that?
So,
I mean, I could probably touch on that. Why?
Yeah,
but
we had talked about it with our loan officers. It felt like months. Like we had been bringing it up. I think in our last at the AIM Arizona Loan Expo that we had done, Mike was on stage and he had mentioned, you know, Quickie's next, right? Quicken's, you know, they're next to be cut off, because we had just cut off. We had just come back from NAM. I think it was NAM or Originator Connect. I'm sorry,
yeah, one of those.
Originator
right?
Connect.
Okay.
Mike and I were out there in Vegas, and, you know, we're sitting out there and we see this presentation from the executive vice president of Freedom is out there.
Right.
And he's basically going on talking about, you know, that it's a RESPA violation, to give brokers back their client that they originally referred to them for the original loan when they do, you know, an inquiry for a refinance.
That's the whole point. It's their client now, they're saying.
It's unbelievable, right? So I literally, you know, get up in that meeting, in that presentation, and I go, I looked at Mike, I go, so this is how they're stealing our clients? I'm like, this guy's an asshole.
Yeah.
He said it loud. I mean, people had heard it, right?
Uh-huh.
And we walked out, you know, and like the whole rest
of the weekend. True New York fashion.
Yeah, the whole rest of the, asshole, right? The whole rest of the weekend, we're in Vegas, and they're like, you guys are coming up. They're like, hey, did you hear somebody call Alan Milliman an asshole? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, they did. You know, so, you know, who was that guy? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, we went back to the office, and on Monday, we cut him off. So that's it. We're done.
Freedom, you cut
freedom,
off at that point.
Freedom, you're done.
Yeah,
you
done.
Know, we're done with that. So then, that you know, that sparked the whole, you know, well, we're talking about cutting off all the people who are not true partners. So they're not there to help us grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's a true partner for you guys?
For us, a true partner is somebody who, number one, protects our loan officer's book of business. Number one, first and foremost, it's not about me. It's about my guys.
100%.
Right? Mike and I are not here to take large pieces of the pie and leave people with nothing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we're a company that's built by LOs for LOs.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we're only as successful as our LO. So if they're going to be successful, if they have long-term success, we will have long-term success. And that's our goal. That's our philosophy. So, you know, when you're talking about not putting it in writing that we won't, you know, poach your clients or we won't start soliciting them after a certain point. You know,
that obviously means they are.
Yeah, exactly, right?
So put it in writing then.
Well, we'll put it in, we'll tell you that we won't do it. But they refused to put in writing over and over again. So that was a big start. And then just knowing that, you know, I remember we got back from Originator Connect and all that stuff. And I just, you know, messing around. I go on Google and I Google mortgage broker.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that pops up is Quicken Loans.
Yeah.
And it's a retail.
It's not even the retail. It's not even the broker
wholesale.
Side.
What do you mean wholesale? Yeah. It was Rocket Mortgage, push button, you know, all this. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Right. So it was just these things that started happening over and over again. You know, the whole glitz and, you know, the glam, like they're going to get you in with price. Right. They're going to get you in with price. They're going to get you in with these incentives.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you finally take the loan there and they do it, when the refi comes around, you're not getting that refi.
No, you got to think long term.
You got to think long term. And it's not
going to be a one and done.
And that's the thing. So. You know, along with our culture, what I like to see is, you know, if you're a loan officer who's only worried about yourself, right? You only care about, you know, you, your piece of business, then we're probably not going to be a good fit for you.
Okay.
Right? We believe in a big team atmosphere.
Okay. That's cool.
So we believe in helping one another, right? And so when you think about doing loans with those other guys, it's transactional.
Mm-hmm.
It's that one transaction that you're gonna get done. But you're not gonna build a relationship with that buyer going forward.
Mm.
And sometimes you know you got some guys that do fabulous work out there, and maybe they are able to maintain a relationship with a few of their buyers. But it's
can't
not
control them all, man. That's a beast. Right. It's a beast. Quicken's a beast.
You're
going
against the biggest beast out there.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't put on the TV and watch a game.
Yeah.
On the weekends and not see that stupid, you know, push button. You know.
Well, maybe Nexa will be out there. Then.
you know, it would be awesome, but, you know, I don't think we would ever,
right.
You know.
So that's a true crazy. Partner, but like we were just talking about earlier, not being an asshole, not being a dick.
Right.
Like, it goes both ways.
It does.
Like, your LO, like you just said, has to be cool with the AE.
Yeah.
Like, I hate this food chain.
Yeah. No, I gotcha.
I don't think it's cool. Like, I always say, like it used to be, forget about mortgage, you know, real estate agent, mortgage,
right.
Title,
yeah.
Escrow, whatever you call it. I believe we're called the Hussy Team, not because it's Nick and I.
No.
It's because I really believe that everyone involved in, I hate saying transaction, is the team to get it done.
Right.
So you're preaching true partnership for your guys as well, going back to the AE and to that lender, because that's how things work.
And that's,
right?
Yeah, that's exactly
that's
how
it true,
works.
That's a true partnership.
True partner. Yeah. You know, and we view our, you know, like you said, you know, you got your realtors, title, everybody's in this thing together.
Together, man.
Right? We're all in this together.
Yeah.
So
it's already fast paced. It's already twist and turny. Like, let's just get it done.
I mean, we've actually, just to get back to, you know, our core, we've actually let producing loan officers go.
Because it didn't make
because
sense.
Because they acted like a dick to an account exec.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they were rude or whatever. Or it just didn't make sense. You know, and one of the things that I think we want to... We are good for self-producing loan officers.
Okay.
Coming from the retail channel who want to become brokers but maybe aren't ready to take that full leap into it. Like, you know, go 2 feet in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get everything set up, licensing, all that stuff.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
That's a whole. We could do another hour on that.
Oh, Jesus,
you know.
Yeah. So that's where that's our niche. That's our man. That's where we're hitting our stride. Where we're not very good at right now. Where I'd like to be better at is loan officers or people who are coming to the, you know, mortgage industry fresh out of something else, like just got licensed. You're green. And you need training, and you need. Like a mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one area that we struggle with.
You're working on.
Yeah.
Well, because not everyone spent 6 years at Blockbuster whatever, like 10 years doing at university it and could jump into it.
Right.
It's very, very tough, man. I mean, it is tough.
Yeah.
And you guys, like you just said, that's cool. You said you're just not the best at, but I'm assuming it's something you're working on.
It's something that's on our radar to work on. It really is. I think it's something that we see in the next 12 to 18 months, the transition to the broker community, to the mortgages alone from other industries, I think is going to be a lot higher. I mean, brokers are going to gain more market share. You're not just going to get that from retail, mm-mm, you know, imploding, you know, exploding and jumping into broker. You're going to also get that from new people entering the industry that really want to provide just a better way of life for their clients, mm-hmm, for themselves, for their teammates, you know, and their employees. And I think, honestly, the mortgage industry does that.
Yeah.
You know, I really do.
100%. So. All right. Well, we got like 10 yeah. 15.
Okay.
All right. So I got two questions. You guys have grown rapidly.
Yeah.
You have more on the horizon. Where do you see next to this year by the end of the year? Like, what are the goals? Like, where do you see it?
Yeah.
If you had to predict it.
So I see us over 1,000 loan officers.
Where you at now?
We're at just about 400. 389.
Wow.
With 403 pending. So, you know, we're already at 400. We had the goal of 1K by May.
You're going to try and recruit Todd Bitter? My boy Todd?
I love Todd, man.
Todd's
you know
man.
What's so funny?
It's the running joke. I had to.
No, it is hilarious. Every time I'm around Todd at an event, he's like, hey, don't stand too close to those Nexa guys. Like, you're gonna drink the Kool-Aid. You're going to be over there. Todd's fabulous, man.
Yeah.
We love him.
Yeah.
And he's in our market, which is great.
Right, too. That's why, yeah.
Yeah,
that's great.
Great. Yeah, so we see ourselves over 1,000 loan officers.
That's the goal.
Largest broker in the country.
That would get you there if you have 1,000 LOs, you think, if you go a certain amount of production?
We track numbers. Here's the thing. We want 1,000 loan officers, but we want to be closing, you know, 4,000 units.
Okay.
You know, way above the national average,
mm-hmm,
and that's our goal.
Cool.
So we're starting to focus a lot more. Mike is still on the growth path. I'm focusing a lot more right now on getting those guys there, like getting the production up. So our goal is to be the largest, and hopefully we can help, you know, other – we want to be like a soundboard for new brokers that come over.
Cool.
And we want people to say, hey, there's another way to do this. You know, no offense. Like, I love your model. Your model's great. If, you know, I'll be honest. When we first started, we're like, hey, dude, let's just go roll this thing.
Yeah, we're torn on what we want to do, no doubt. Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll pick your brain on ways to go
100%,
one day.
100%, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, anytime.
All right, last question.
Yeah.
The industry in general. I mean, we could look 5 years out from, like, where do you see it 5 years out from now? 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Where do you see this going?
That's a great question.
It's moving quick, man. Technology.
Man, it's moving fast. It's moving fast. I see the industry in general. People have talked about technology replacing the loan officer. And
mm-hmm.
Eventually, you know, everything's going to be automated and this, that, and the other. At the end of the day, I still see, even in 3 to 5 years from now, I still see the importance of going to a trusted mortgage expert.
Advisor, expert, yep.
I see it as such an importance. That relationships will always... Trump the you're gonna have the guys that are technology, right? I gotta have it now. You know,
mm-hmm.
Gotta press the button.
Now.
You're gonna have that, right? You're never gonna replace that.
Mm-mm.
Okay, there's a market for that too. Like, this is a huge market that we're in. But to go to somebody who you trust, who you know is going to take care of you, who's gonna provide you better options, more options,
mm-hmm.
And really
and figure out your specific goals. Like, no robot can take away. Everyone's different.
You can do all the algorithms you want, but I'm not going to be able to talk to you and find out your inner being.
Yeah, or do you have a kid on the way? Or things like that. That's not mortgage related. Yeah.
A lot of things. So I see technology will always play a part in our industry. I think the people who are going to be very successful find a way to continue to merge technology with the relationship. Mm. And those will be the ones that those will be the brokers that are around for a long time, and they're going to have sustained success, and they're going to align themselves. I see with true partners. I would love to say I'd like to be bold in 5 years. Say Quicken Loans is going to be out of wholesale.
Yeah.
You know, I would love that. Let them just focus on retail. That's fine.
Sure.
But I don't. You know, that probably not going to happen. There's a need for competition, which is good. But yeah, I see it. I see it thriving and doing really well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, bro.
Hope so, right?
Yeah, no, hope's great. There it is, man. Matt Grella.
Awesome.
Next to Mortgage Man. I appreciate it, dude.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Cool. Thanks for listening to the Broker to Broker podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss a single episode. Head over to aimgroup.com/broker to broker and subscribe on any platform where you listen to podcasts.